Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before we go into the message today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I just ask you to give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us today. And not let us not only be hearers of the word, but know that we can be doers of the word as we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Just to set this up for you today, we're going to do something a little bit different today. Kathy, about a week or so ago, I was telling her about a message that God gave me about 40 years ago. And it was the first time the Lord ever took me into the book of Revelations. And, I'd never studied in the book of Revelations at that point or anything, but the Lord started drawing my attention to the 6th and 7th chapter of Revelations. And when I started looking at it, I saw some things there, and I started asking God some questions. And we're like little children when it comes to the Lord. When you don't know something, ask him, and he'll tell you if it's something that you need to know. Just like our kids, when they ask something, we'll tell them if we need to know. I'm going to correct two things in this message you're going to hear. You're going to hear my message from 40 years ago. And it was in 1985 on June the 16th that I shared this message. And it was on a tape, because we used to tape them on cassette tapes. And me and Margaret came down during the week and put it on CD. So you can listen to it, and if anybody wants a copy of it, we can make you a copy. Or if they put it on the internet, you can go on there and listen to it. But it's about the 144,000. And one thing I said in there is I said it talks about judgment. And the actual numbers for 144,000 at that time, I don't know that I didn't have this book that I came across that had the meaning of numbers in it in Scripture. And God lets things fall into your hands as you're going on in him, and it opens the things up into a bigger realm. And I'm going to give you the definition of 144,000, okay, before we start. And 100, the when you see 100, it's usually talking about God's election of grace, children of promise. And when you see 144, the Spirit-guided life. So God's election of grace, children of promise, the Spirit-guided life. That's 144. And there was 1,000 of each one of these 12 tribes of Israel. And 12 times 12,000 is 144. That's where you get to 144,000. But 1,000 is divine completeness and the glory of God. So when you see 1,000, and in that tape that you're going to hear, I will tell you that 1,000 is talking about a day. And we know that 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord, okay? And there's one other thing that I said that was wrong. I pronounced one of the names wrong. I pronounced Naphtali as Naphtali, and I don't know. Some of these names, I can't pronounce them very well anyway. It wasn't Greek to me, but it was Hebrew, okay? So anyway, I just pray that you listen to this tape. And it was, I can tell you how old I was back then. I was 37, and it was 40 years ago when the Lord gave me this message. And I never had studied in the book of Revelations at that point or nothing else. And here's what he gave me. And this is not a traditional teaching on the 144,000, but I want you to just listen to it and see if you can identify with each one of these things that I'll talk about here. And if you think about it, you can see yourself in almost every one of these situations at one time or another. And what God's trying to do is bring you to a day of completeness in it, okay? Governmental perfection in your life. Praise the Lord. If you will, you can start the tape now. I'm going to sit down.
As I kind of got before the Lord and began to ask the Lord what he would have me speak about tonight, Brother Eddie had talked to me the other night and asked me if I would speak and share something. I felt that the Lord wanted me to share something that I've been a little reluctant to share because, you know, the Lord's dealt with me about this particular thing for a long time. And it's a portion of Scripture, you know. And I just, it's in Revelations. And I'm always a little reluctant to get in Revelations because I always think, gee, you know, I don't want to get in Revelations, you know. But it's been a couple of years ago when the Lord really started to begin, I feel, to open this up to me some. And if this doesn't witness to your heart, just let it go. And if it witnesses to your heart, just receive it and let the Lord do whatever he's going to do with it, okay? And I'm going to start off in the 7th chapter of Revelations. And I'm going to actually start off in the 6th chapter. And I'm going to read verse 17. It says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" It said, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." Excuse me. "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.' And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were that were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And of the tribe of Judah there were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim, I guess it is, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. And when the Lord first began to really draw my attention to this portion of Scripture, you know, I always kind of tell the Lord, because I don't really read in Revelations a lot. I've always kind of stayed away from it. But, you know, because I know it's in types and shadows, and it's signified. Preston Eby taught one time about it being signified, you know, and it is signs and everything. And I don't think we can always take Revelations literally, because God has a lot of hidden truths here. And the Lord began to impress me. First of all, the first thing I noticed, I'll get into this, the first thing that I noticed when I began to read this Scripture, I noticed that the 12 tribes of Israel were not in order like they are in the Old Testament. They were not in the order of their birth, okay? And it's completely thrown out of order here. And I thought, well, now, Lord, I know that you're a God of order. And if you put it this way, you had a particular reason for putting it in this fashion that you have it here. So I began to say, well, okay, Lord, what, you know, why was your reason? Why did you do this? And the Lord impressed me to begin to look up the names of each one of these tribes and to see who they were or what they were according to their name. And I'd like to say, first of all, we've had a lot of messages around here lately about praise. We've had prophecies. I shared something with you last Sunday that I felt on my heart about praise was actually the thing that was taken into the Holy of Holies, was this, the altar of incense. It was the only thing that the priest took that was in the holy place into the Holy of Holies. And anyway, as I began to look at these different scriptures, and I'd like to say this too, judgment, I don't think judgment is a lot of times what we think judgment is. We think of judgment as being punishment, cruelty, harshness, and judgment is setting things in order. That's exactly what it is. It's setting things in order, okay? And this, the first person that was listed here, their name was Judah. And Judah's name means praised. And we know Jesus Christ was born of the tribe of Judah. And we know that when he was born, it was said, let all the angels of God praise him, you know. And, you know, we've been receiving word upon word upon word about praising God, you know. Now, this is this 144,000 that we're seeing here. And they're to be sealed, okay. And let me tell you, God is trying to seal us. I don't believe this 144,000 is Israel in the natural. I believe it's spiritual Israel. And I'm going to tell you, as I go down these, you listen and you tell me if you aren't in some of these places that I go through down here. You tell me if you aren't either right at that particular point or just about ready to move out of that one point into another point, because that was the thing that I really found astounding as I went down through this. I began to see things that God was doing in my life, and I saw things he was doing in other people's lives. But anyway, the first one was praised. We know the importance of praise. We know that the scripture says, let everyone that hath breath praise the Lord. Okay? The second one was Reuben. And Reuben's name means, see ye a son. And let me tell you, In the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And in 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It says, beloved, now are you the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what you shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Okay? I feel like we're going to be judged. And let me tell you this. The 144,000, which I kind of got ahead of myself. 12 almost always signifies judgment. Okay? And 1,000, we know a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So this 12 here is 12,000 of each one of these is telling me that this is a day of judgment. This is a day of setting things in order, okay? I don't think it's a literal time, but I think it's an experience where God is setting things in order. And he's going to set each one of these things as we go down here in order in your life. And then we're going to see what he's going to do after he does that, okay? So we've dealt with Reuben a little bit. I'm not going to go into these real deep because you could get all kinds of scriptures, but I don't want to get into that. I just want you to consider some of these things and think about it. The next one's name was Glad here. And Glad's name meant a troop or it meant fortune. Brother Eddie this morning was talking about that you're the jewels of the Lord. And that he's rubbing you and he's forming you and fashioning you, making you into a precious thing. And let me tell you, any fortune that you have out in the natural world is worthless. True riches is knowing Jesus Christ and having him as your personal Savior, having that intimate relationship with him, walking with him on a daily basis. If you don't have a nickel in your pocket, you're the richest man in the world if you've got that. Okay? The next one is Asher. And it means happy. Okay? And We've all went through real states of happiness, man, where we were just so happy in the Lord, and we just, And even sometimes when we're going through some really tough places, we still have a happiness that we really can't explain. It's kind of down on the inside. It's not a lot of times expressing itself on the outside. But there's just something that just keeps you going and keeps that little happiness bubbling inside of you. Well, I feel like either we're gonna learn to be happy all the time in whatever state we're in, whatever condition we're found in, or whatever, or we're not going to continue on down this list. Okay, the next one, and I'll be honest with you, I think this is where a whole lot of us have been for a long time, is my wrestlings. It was nepotillai. And, you know, when I think about my wrestlings, the person that really comes to mind when I begin to think about that is Jacob. And Jacob had dwelt in the land of Laban, and he had done all this labor, and he had done this and that. And the Lord told him to get up and to get out and get back into his own homeland. And he gets up and he leaves and he goes. And when he goes back, he knows he's going to meet his brother. And he had wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, you know, with Laban, with the situations there. But God had blessed him and blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. And a lot of times we in the church are just like that. God has blessed us and blessed us. He's blessed Jacob. He hasn't blessed Israel yet. He's blessed Jacob. He's blessed us with increase. He's blessed us at the things we set our hand at. But you know, Jacob came to a place where he was going to cross over the river of, I believe it's called Jabbok or something like that. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation of it. But that river, really, the actual meaning of the name of that river was pouring forth, to pour out, to empty, to make empty, to empty out, to fail, to utterly make void. He had to cross over an experience like that. And sometimes we wonder, oh God, why am I in the situation I'm in? It don't seem like I can get a handle on it. I can't move out of this place. And we're crossing over that river. We're crossing over this place where we feel like we're so empty. God, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to give. What can I give you? You know, I can't even witness to people sometimes. You know, we feel like that at times. And yet, when he crossed over and he wrestled with the angel, and we all know that was the Lord, and I believe it was the Lord right inside of him. And you know what? When the angel touched his thigh and threw his hip out of joint and asked him, "What's your name?" And he said, "Jacob," which meant deceiver, supplanter, and so on and so forth. And I think Bill Britton brought that out beautifully, I think, when he was here. You know, then all of a sudden, he told him, "Your name shall be Israel from henceforth." And he blessed Israel, which Israel is a prince with God. And you know, God isn't going to bless our old flesh. He isn't going to bless our old carnal nature. He isn't going to bless that, "Oh, I got to have my way, you know, or I'm taking my ball and go home" kind of thing. He isn't going to bless that. He's blessed it in the past, but he ain't going to bless it no more. We're coming down to a day of judgment in these things. And I'm talking about in each one of our lives, see? Okay. Guess what comes after my wrestlings? The next one is Manasseh, which is causing to forget. Isn't that beautiful? Causing us to forget all that garbage, all the hurt feelings we had, causing us to forget all of the things that are behind us, and like Brother Eddie said this morning, causing us to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let's come to that place. Let's say, "Oh God, work that in my life. Cause me to forget these things. Cause me to forget all them wrestlings, all them hurts, all those things like that." And you know, the next one that comes after that is Simeon, which means hearing. You know, once you forgot all them hurt places, you can really hear from God because your ear's clear to hear. When he speaks, you're going to know his voice. He said, "My sheep know my voice and another they won't follow." You know, though there's chaos out in the world, if you know his voice, you're not going to be in that chaos because you're going to follow right where he tells you to go. Okay? The next one after that is Levi, and Levi means joined. And you know, after you begin to hear from the Lord, you begin to be joined to Him. Oh, man, you begin to have a fellowship and a real back and forth type of conversation with Him. And not only you're doing the talking then, but you're beginning to hear and you're beginning to know and you're beginning to see the direction that God would have you to go. And not only are you joined to the Lord, the scripture says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. But you know what? You're joined to your brothers and sisters. Because as they're being joined to the Lord, you're being joined to the Lord, and you become one. And that was that high priestly prayer that he prayed in John, where he said, Father, I would that they would be one as you and I are one. Okay, the next one is he is hired. And that's Issachar. And, you know, really, when I looked at this one, that song began to come to mind that he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. You know, and that began to really come to my mind. And, you know, we're bought with a price, the scripture says. We're not our own. And you know, when you realize that you're not your own, if you realize a possession belongs to someone else, you don't try to go and rule over your next door neighbor's car, because you know that's their car. And you know what? When you come to the realization that you're not your own, you've been bought with a price, that he has bought you through his hire, through his going out and through his pouring out his self for you, then you don't have to begin to struggle with everything you do. You can just begin to put it in his hands and begin to say, Lord, you know, you're in control of these things. Okay? The next one is habitation. It's Zebulun. It means habitation. And we know, and I think a few weeks ago I spoke a little bit on the temple about that we're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And you know what? Once we become his habitation is going to go wherever we go. And the Holy of Holies is going to go wherever we go. The Shekinah glory is going to go wherever we go. Lives are going to be changed wherever we go. You know, when I was thinking about this particular portion here, I began to think about, Brother Eddie talked about Smith Wigglesworth years ago. And talked about him sitting on a train one time. And I've got the books and I read them too. But about him sitting on a train one time and sitting with a minister and just sitting down next to this minister. After just a few minutes of sitting there, the minister looked over at him and told him, you convict me of sin. And let me tell you, when you really become the habitation of God, the expression of him to where his life and light and love is just flowing out of you, people are going to be convicted in your presence. And it's not going to be anything of you. It's just him. You know, it's all him. But anyway, the next one after that is Joseph. And that one means he is giving increase. God shall add to me another. And Paul, you know, I when I saw that one, I began to think about what Paul said. I believe it was Paul where he said, no, it was John the Baptist, where he said, I must decrease that he might increase. And you know, when we come to a place of truly decreasing, of truly just coming down to where things that we want aren't that important anymore, having our way isn't that important, being important isn't that important, just strictly come down to a place of where we're decreasing, all of a sudden, we're going to find him increasing. And as he increases, there's going to be some magnificent things happen. And the last one on here was Benjamin. And Benjamin, which Bill Britton brought this out, means son of the right hand. And you know what? When I was thinking of the son of the right hand, you know the right hand is always the power hand. John and his brother asked Jesus, or the mother came and asked, could one sit on the right hand and one on the left hand? When he came into his kingdom, he said, it's not mine to give, but it's who the Father is more or less predestined it for. And you know what? But the thing about, anybody ever heard of a right-hand man? When you have a right-hand man, you know what he does? He does whatever you want him to. He's your right-hand man. He does exactly what you want him to. And let me tell you, when we come to a place where we've come to a place of perfect judgment in being his right-hand man, rather than you're only going to be doing that just same as Jesus did, you're going to be doing that which you see your Father do. You're going to be speaking that which you hear your Father speak. And then there's going to be some mighty, mighty changes out in the world when that happens. Okay, there was one more. Now, this is going to be 13, okay? But this one is left out, okay? And I noticed this wasn't there, and I wondered why it wasn't there. And the one that was left out was Dan. And I said, okay, now why wasn't Dan here? And Dan's name means judgment, to judge. And let me tell you what, God don't want us judging other people. Jesus said he didn't come in the world to judge the world. He said, but if he did judge it, his judgment was true because he would judge righteous judgment. We don't even know what judgment means. I really believe that. We don't. You know, because judgment is a setting in order, and judgment is not something to condemn people, but it's something to restore. It's something to bring about that calmness and that peace and stuff like that without any laws out there in the land and without any threat of judgment, so to speak, in the natural. There would be chaos on the streets. Some people would be driving 100, some would be driving 10, some would be driving 40. It'd be chaos. But he left judgment out. And the reason I feel like he left judgment out, because the scripture says the saints will judge the world. But you know what? They're going to judge it in such mercy. It's not going to be judgment like the judgment we know of. It's going to be such a merciful judgment because we're going to have been right where the people are that we're judging. And the judging we'll do will be a restoring type judgment. Okay? Okay. Now, just for your general information, sealed, which it says that, you know, until these servants have been sealed, hurt not the earth. It literally means to stamp with a signet. It's a private mark for security or a preservation to keep secret, to set a seal. Okay, that's what it means. Now, if you go ahead and you read on down this chapter, you begin to start finding out what's going to happen after these people have been sealed, you know? And if you go on down here, I think it's, and after this I beheld, lo, in a great multitude which no man can number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and round the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And you know, after I read this, I knew in Revelations, the 14th chapter, you see the 144,000 again, you know. And I just want to go over to that for just a second. And I'm just going to read the first few verses here. It says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." You know, I looked over here and I looked up this. They had over in the seventh chapter, they were to be sealed. But here, I think the work had been complete. They weren't sealed anymore. They had the Father's name written in their forehead. And you know what that literally means about the Father's name being written is, first of all, the word name, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, means authority or character. And the name, the word written, it's a verb and it means grave. And that's not grave that you put dead people in, but that's grave, like he said, don't set up any graven images. That's something that's carved, okay? And it means to write, to describe. And the definition for forehead was their face. So literally, they have the Father's authority and character described in their face. Isn't that beautiful? You're going to have your Father's authority and his character described in your face. When people see you, they're going to see the Father. Not because of anything you've done, just simply because he loves you and because you're his child and you're going to bear that image. But you know, as we go along, we're going to have to go through some of these places of judgment. We're going to have to go through some of these things that we're going to be struggling with finances, with different things, with wrestling with different problems and different things like that. But you know, once we come to a place of laying that all down and making him Lord in all those different areas, I really feel like then we're going to begin to see this 144,000, so to speak, come on the earth, because it's going to be a perfection of all that he is. Like I say, if this didn't witness to your heart, then don't receive it. If it did, then do. And you know, a lot of times people worry about stuff. They'll say, "Oh my God, you know, I'm so worried somebody's going to deceive me." Hey, if you don't hear your Father's voice when someone's speaking to you, me or anybody else, don't receive it. If you hear your Father's voice, then receive it, okay? Well, God bless you. That's all I had to share with you.
See, there's no time element with God. You know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all the same with him. We're the ones who deal in a time element, you know. And, you know, his word is perfect. And if we come to realize that in Revelations, everybody, if you say, I'm going to put out a book of Revelations, people will look at it and they'll, "Oh, I want to find out who the beast is and who this." The beginning of the book of Revelations tells you what it is. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you start looking in there for anything but him, you're looking for the wrong things. And a lot of those things that are listed in the book of Revelations are going on right inside of you, you know. And you know, when you come to realize that, you know, then God can open up. And when you read scriptures, if you don't understand them, go to God like a little child and say, "God, Father, I don't understand what I'm reading. Reveal it to me. Let me see the truth in your word." And you know what? His truth won't change. I mean, you know, like I told you, even when I told you about the 144,000, it having those other meanings. But when perfect government is in the land, guess what? Perfect judgment's in the land too. And he had me say judgment back there because I didn't have that those other definitions. But he had me say judgment. But I tell you what, his true judgment is not to punish, it's to set things in the proper order. And when his perfect government is in the land, things are going to be in proper order. And the land it's going to have to come in is this land right here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of ourself. See? And know you not, you're the temple of God. And like I said in that message, you're lively stones. You're built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. You're making up a holy temple. You know, everywhere you go, he goes. You know, a lot of times we'll say, oh, God, where are you? And he'd say, stupid, I'm inside of you. When you received me as your Lord and Savior, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, I came within you. I woke up inside of you. And when I woke up inside of you, I'll lead you and guide you and direct you if you'll just look to me. Well, praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And I hope this is ministered. Well, I don't hope it ministered to you. I know it's probably ministered to you, or God wouldn't have me share it with you. I know it's a little hard to hear that because it was a little on the deep side. We probably needed more treble and a little less bass. I don't think my voice is quite that deep most of the time. But anyway, God is good, and His word never returns void. You know, like I say, he gave me that message 45 years ago. About 40 years ago, yeah, 40 years ago. Huh? Yeah, because it was this a generation, that's right. See, that's the thing about those numbers. And let me tell you something else. When he gave me that, I was made an elder when I was 30 years old. When I shared that message, I was 37. What's the number for seven? It's God's number. So he, you know, those things are, God's stuff is perfect. It's not, if you read something in the scriptures and you say, oh, that contradicts something else, not when God gives you the right understanding of what you just read, it doesn't contradict itself, you know. But anyway, God bless you all. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. And I thank you, Father, that your word never returns void. And it never changes. It always is progressing forward till we come to the likeness of you. You never change from what you said in Genesis when you said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. You're still in the process of making us into your image and your likeness. And it's a gradual process, just like it says in Romans, the 12th chapter, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And that's exactly what we're desiring to see, your perfect will in our lives and in the world out here today. And until the Christians stand up as one, the world's not going to believe. They have to see a people stand up as one in you, trusting in you and relying on you, and loving each other. And as we do that, then creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.